You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting enrolls for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Individual results may vary. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You've lost so much weight. How'd you do it?
I got medical treatment for weight loss through Zelty and lost 50 pounds. I struggled for the longest time, but Zelty makes it easy and affordable to get weight loss treatment 100% online. Zelty providers can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications clinically shown to help people lose weight, like Wegovy, Zepbound, and others.
I've heard those medications can help you lose weight, but aren't they expensive?
Zelty can help get the medication covered by insurance, so it's as little as $0 a month.
What if you don't have insurance?
No problem. Zelty may be able to help you get other GLP-1 medications for 80 to 90% off the price of name brand medications.
I'm ready to start losing weight. How do I get started with Zelty?
Just text.
Text THIN to 200-300 to get started today with Zelty and see if weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound are right for you. Don't wait. Text now for a link to your exclusive offer. Text THIN to 200-300. That's THIN to 200-300. THIN to 200-300.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
We are presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use code DAN for a special offer when you sign up. That's code DAN, only at DraftKings Sportsbook.
It takes a team of thousands to replace Stugatz when he's not here, and God almighty, Greg Cody and Amin are bringing it right now. Amin has been a disaster today, sitting in the Stugatz chair. And not only a disaster, but I come in here and he's so proud of his performance that he's just shaking a fist like Tiger Woods celebrating because he got a TikTok timing right on some breakfast flan song he's trying to make. And he's not doing show with us and he's very proud of his performance as he gets kicked out of the room. And I'm trying to start the show and he's just eating breakfast flan and celebrating that he's finally got a TikTok right. And you're in your mid-40s, man. Like, you're trying to stay in the TikTok game with a breakfast flan song.
Catching strays left and right, right here. I mean, what's
first
happening?
Of all, it's
you're
not,
in your mid-40s?
Hold on. Yes, I am.
I thought you were like 32. What the f***?
Yeah, man. Black don't crack. But it's not a TikTok. I'm making the video. I'm editing the video in a video editor that I will then post on Instagram and maybe on TikTok.
But how about doing your job here?
I am doing my job here.
That's growing the brand.
Breakfast flan.
That's right.
TikTok is how we're going to grow the show, Dan.
It's how we're going to save the show.
And carbs.
Save it.
Save it. Why does it need saving?
Because
of what Greg Cody's been doing all day.
Yeah, let's switch to
TikTok will never catch
Greg's
on.
Greg's been great. Oh.
Let's hear. On that side, I've got breakfast flan. On this side, I have Greg Cody reacting to the idea of television seasons. That is the sound of Greg Cody offering me instant analysis. You are misquoted?
Right. Why are you putting me in a bad light? That wasn't me. It wasn't me. It wasn't me.
Whoa!
More of that. Go on further.
I don't think that was me.
What a hip
Seriously.
Pop culture reference.
That's
you,
a modern
Cody.
Reference for Greg, guys.
Thank
we should,
you.
We should be encouraging.
Damn right. Who sang that? I can't remember.
Shaggy.
Oh, I love him.
Amin was apparently like 35 when that song came out.
People are floored by your age right now. I think people have been. Why? How did that happen? I thought you guys knew that Amin was a grown man. It's because he doesn't act like one?
What?
You're on TikTok making breakfast flan songs.
As opposed to all these other non-ungrown men.
Man-child.
Here.
Jessica, the Netflix documentary, is it two parts on Manti Te'o?
It's two parts, but each part was only an hour long. It could have just been a two-hour film. I'm unsure why it needed to be split in a two parts.
It's that series, though, Untold, right?
Yeah.
So they're just trying to fill, like, check boxes.
But it came out, like, it came out all at once. So I just watched it all the way through.
Well, I mean, this goes back to my big problem with Netflix. It's like, I like to have to wait for the next episode to drop. I love the communal aspect. I hate when these things drop all at once.
Yeah.
Because you're talking to people and they're like, oh yeah. And then I'm like, I'm not there yet.
Correct. Well, it should have just been 1 2-hour thing because this whole story was told in 2 hours. Mm-hmm. There wasn't like the first part was a story and the second part was a story. Like it was all the same story.
Because I'm like that show Untold, they're trying to check by, like, oh, we have six episodes or whatever.
They're well really, done. All of those stories.
It was very well done.
I mean, these are all sports stories I've wanted to hear about, and I think there's only been
one week.
I'm going to tell you guys right now, I don't want to give away next week's episode of Basketball Illuminati.
Tim Donaghy.
But the Tim Donaghy one is very problematic.
I haven't seen that one.
Yeah, well, next week, Basketball Illuminati, we have the author of the book, the definitive book about what happened in that scandal. And he was asked to be on that documentary. And he asked them, did you guys read the book? And they said, no. And he realized very quickly that this is not a very well-researched or well-done documentary. And so he gave us an amazing interview. It comes out next Wednesday on Basketball Illuminati.
Most of the
Maybe
untold...
they listened to it on Audible, though.
The book?
Yeah, they didn't read it.
So they read it.
Most of the untold stories that I have watched have been good. Manti Te'o's story. Jessica, you were very young as a Notre Dame fan when this was happening. You were.
It was actually my freshman year. So I.
So Amin was 40 back then?
I was in second grade, yes, in 2012. No, but it brought back a lot of memories because it was a very magical Notre Dame season. They went undefeated. This documentary really focuses on Manti for obvious reasons. It's about him and his story, and he finally is able to, I guess, kind of talk about it with some hindsight, and he hadn't really done a lot of these interviews since.
For those who do not know, he was catfished at a time that a lot of us learned what catfishing was,
right,
and then kept up the lie in a mythical Heisman campaign, trying to pretend as a myth.
It was a real Heisman campaign. He was a very good middle linebacker. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He had like eight interceptions as a middle linebacker in 2012. And this whole catfishing thing completely overshadowed how amazing of a player he was for 4 years at Notre Dame. 4 year starter. He could have left after his junior year. He came back. He was an incredible player, probably in the pantheon of Notre Dame players, including, the pantheon of Notre Dame linebackers, of which there have been several good ones. But he had a girlfriend who he was talking to on the phone every night, was texting, who he believed to be a real person named Lene Kakua, who lived in California. And he talks about in this documentary how he tried to make attempts to see her in person and would buy plane tickets, and then something would happen and she wouldn't want to see him. And so they never ended up meeting, but he lied to his dad at one point and said that they had met. And so there was a lot that made him out to be culpable after the story broke that she was not a real person named Lene Kakua. But I think this documentary kind of explains how he didn't know. He kind of thought that she was real all along until the very last moment where he realized that she was a person who was not Lene Kakua. And at that point, it was too late to say anything because he was going to the Heisman ceremony like a few days later. And he was completely caught off guard and didn't know how to respond to it in a public light. And Notre Dame found out about it. And so Jack Swarbrick, the athletic director at Notre Dame, is also interviewed for this documentary. And so he talks about how they had, media consultants, and they were trying to figure out how to respond to this because they wanted to put out the true story, and they didn't want to make Manti, they wanted to protect Manti, obviously, and protect, his image and Notre Dame's image. But then Deadspin came along. They got a tip in their, tip email inbox that said, Lene Kakua is not real. They looked into it. This was, I think, the funniest part of the documentary because my former colleague at Sports Illustrated, Jack Dickey, worked on the original story. And I know Jack to be a very good reporter. He, I worked with him for years. He was He's very, very, very sharp. But he's an intern at Deadspin. He gets the tip that LeMay Cuckoo is not real.
Deadspin solidified its journalistic credentials here. Deadspin it did a couple of things that were on the edge. TMZ, they were breaking stories. They were being an internet phenomenon.
Well, this is the funniest part of the documentary is that Dickie gets this tip and he sends it to this journalist, Timothy Burke. And Jack's like, Timothy Burke had journalistic skills that only like 12 people in the country had. And they cut to Timothy Burke and he's got like this labyrinth of computer monitors in front of him. And he's like, I ran in some really weird internet circles. And I even worked with the hacking group Anonymous at one point. So I Googled LeMay Cuckoo car accident nice. And there were no hits.
Nice.
And like that was how they cracked the code. And so I think like the moral that I took away from all of this, because I think a lot of people will come away from this thinking like, oh my gosh, like Manti's entire life got ruined by the media spin and reaction to the story coming out. It did. He got asked by Katie Couric on morning TV if he was gay.
Sure.
That is an unacceptable reaction. Yeah. To That's this entire wild. Thing coming out. His sex life and his sexuality should have never been a topic of conversation. He was a 21-year-old football player, unpaid, I should add, who was just trying to get through his season, and then all of this blew up and happened. And people are asking if he's gay.
That was definitely an insensitive, like, dumbass time in our lives, right? But the other thing, I won't say it ruined him because, if I remember correctly, while he was a great college player, the NFL scouts are like,
He's
all right.
Oh, but I don't know how much this impacted his entire career.
Before the scandal hit. Before the scandal, when he was killing out there.
I agree with you.
Guys, pro scouts were like, he's a great college player.
As an NFL prospect, there were definitely, like, he was a little smaller, but he was an amazing college player. Mm-hmm. And the documentary showed that at the time, most people speculated he would go in the first round. He didn't end up getting drafted in the first round. He got picked early in the second round by the Chargers. And so obviously the difference between a first round paycheck and a second round paycheck is pretty substantial. So you could probably make the argument that teams that did like him were like, we don't want to deal with all of this. We don't want the media attention. We don't know if he's gay, which at the time still, you know.
That was a thing.
I can't believe that.
That was a thing.
So he dropped to the second round.
He didn't do anything wrong throughout this process, but I do think that we've since learned.
He kept up the myth a couple of weeks.
Based on the advice that he was getting, which I think was a massive miscalculation on the part of the advice that he was getting. They just didn't see the Deadspin thing coming, and it was a huge mistake to have the information and continue on in the interview circuit, perpetuating this thing around him as they still formulated a plan.
I just don't think that anyone knew what to do because it was an unprecedented situation. So I think in his mind, you know, it's a few days before the Heisman ceremony, the national championship's coming up in a few weeks. He probably doesn't want to be found out. He's probably super embarrassed and humiliated enough already.
Right. Well, I'll extend him
that.
So,
I don't really know how you...
It's very clear that no one knew what to do, but it's also very clear in retrospect you don't do that anymore.
Well, I don't think anyone was expecting Deadspin to break the story in the time frame that they did. And I think, from what I understand, like, they had a plan in place to put the story out themselves.
Right.
But they were waiting until after the Heisman or the national championship, whatever, because they didn't want the entire team to have to deal with like the fallout from it.
The humanizing
and
portions.
Then their hand was forced, yeah.
The humanizing portions of this that we have not yet seen, I've not seen the documentary, is how much did this hurt Manti Te'o? He hasn't talked very much about what it was like to be dragged through the early part of the internet as we reached a crossroads journalistically on, wait a minute, a blog is going to do the actual reporting to tear apart a Notre Dame myth, right? This is a lot of things coming together at the same time. Hatred of Notre Dame, this icon that may or may not be good enough. What do you mean he was fooled by a fake girlfriend? Are they concocting a love story to win the Heisman? Are they concocting, is this story, is Notre Dame a fraud? Is it a myth?
Dan, that was my entire takeaway from this documentary was like Deadspin literally just Googled the name of the girlfriend and were able to put together this piece in like 4 days and publish it. Why did no other outlet, Sports Illustrated ran a cover story on Manti Te'o, ESPN ran profiles on it, NBC was asking about her during halftime. No, not a single journalist or credible news outlet did the journalistic work to verify
the question,
that this person existed because he believed that she existed.
Yeah. until like the Heisman thing while they were formulating.
You can literally you can make up any story and lie about anything, and fact checkers at newspapers and magazines should look into it. Like when I, and ironically at Sports Illustrated, I wrote a story like three or four years ago where I was writing about like this ultra marathon race and the types of food people were eating, and like the fact checkers call and they're like, "Were you doing X, Y, and Z?" Like they call each of the subjects and verify. Like you cannot publish the story and just go off of my word of it. There has to be verification. But what happened with this was that people went along with it, and like the mythology and the story around it and the narrative was so shocking and impressive and crazy that no one thought for a second, like, maybe this isn't true. No one doubted him, because I don't think anyone knew what catfishing was.
I didn't.
And
at
why
the time.
Would Manti lie about it? Especially because Manti didn't know the season he was about to have.
No.
This happened early on in the season, before they were undefeated, before he had this breakout, insane senior year season.
Hindsight's 20/20, but I remember when this was all happening, I found it odd that the family wasn't around him. There was this narrative building around him, and you've obviously felt really bad for Manti as this was going on, but there was nobody from the family around. And even in that moment, I did find it odd. I never in a million years could have envisioned that he was getting catfish. I didn't have really any information to know what catfishing was at the time.
Did the documentary Catfish come out before or after this? This is what
after. Catfish wasn't in the cultural lexicon in 2012 and 2013.
I don't remember when Catfish, the documentary, not the TV show, the actual original documentary, where the guy, Neve, actually got catfish.
Manti says in the documentary that once he figured out what was going on, he called his uncle, who was a lawyer, and he told his dad immediately and was like, he was like humiliated and embarrassed. He was like, I don't know what to do. So they called their uncle, who was a lawyer, and their uncle was like, you've been catfished. And he said that was the first time he became aware of what the term catfish meant.
Catfish came out in 2010. So that documentary was out.
But the MTV show wasn't out yet?
No, the MTV show came out.
Because the MTV show is, I think, how...
That's how it got popular.
Like, it got really popular. Yeah.
Well, I think if I remember the timeline correctly, I remember the story came out, and then a lot of people were like, oh, this is a thing, and here's this documentary about it. And then word of mouth spread on the documentary, because nobody had heard of this documentary. It's a sort of very small project that all of a sudden became big as a result of this event.
To me, the reason for the documentary, and the reason that I would, in my mind, think it better than 2 hours, is because Manti Te'o is not the interesting part of the story. It's the intersection of who gets crushed when we all learn about the same thing, and there are days where we're allowed to talk about the mystery and say, is Notre Dame a sham fraud? Is their linebacker? We're allowed to arrive at the sinister places. Are they selling a mythology love story because they're trying to win the Heisman? He got a couple of days of that because we were all confused. Well, what do you mean? What's catfishing? What is this report? What's Deadspin doing? Blogs don't undo Heisman campaigns. Is Notre Dame in fraud and crisis? And now you go to a bunch of old people, I'm assuming, in leadership, and are like, what do you do with this? And you've got some old athletic director looking around and being like, what's catfishing? What do you mean my linebacker doesn't have a girlfriend? Is he gay?
Is he gay?
You don't know what's going to... If Katie Couric is comfortable doing that on television, what do you imagine these guys were dealing with
on
what the lie was?
I imagine that no one had any idea what to do. And so that's why I think it's difficult to put myself in the position of Manti or any of his teammates or his parents or whoever at the university who's just like, all right, this is going to be a PR disaster. What do we do? Because this was absolutely an unprecedented situation and an unprecedented scenario. And the timing of the story breaking was the absolute worst timing for Manti, for the team, and for the university. Like, they're on this Heisman campaign and on this national championship run, and the last thing they want is for it all to blow up in their faces. And they also, I genuinely believe that they did not want Manti to feel humiliated and embarrassed, because he was a superstar on that campus, an absolute superstar.
He was a nice guy, right? Like, he's a really nice guy by all accounts.
Super nice, very like head down, determined football player, and people really liked him. He was everyone's favorite player. Like, Everett Golson was the quarterback of that football team. No one talks about Everett Golson. Everyone talks about Manti.
I don't know what it must be like to be in your formative years as nice guy, caveman, trying to get ahead in sports. And now what plays out for you publicly is, oh, what a fool. What a fool you are.
And all of a sudden this becomes word association on Manti Te'o. In some respects, I mean, I don't know if maybe athletically he was just never going to be a great NFL player, but didn't really have much of an NFL career. And I think you could argue because of this. I actually worked with Don Van Natta on a project for ESPN about this. No, because like he was trying to get the backstory. Yeah, yeah, the backstory episode that ESPN did.
I played dominoes with him, so
wow, fair play. But I work with him on this, and he was trying to get Manti to sit down, and he wasn't far away from getting to an interview with Manti Te'o. But then towards the end, that's when Netflix came along, and that, by the way, is why this exists. This is in some ways Manti Te'o's retelling.
He hasn't talked.
Paid by Netflix,
right,
in order to go and do this.
I heard the executive producers say that they think he finally wanted to talk about it now that his career is over, because he played in the league for 7 or 8 years, and he talked in the documentary about how he had like severe anxiety his first 3 seasons with the Chargers. Every time he played football, he was a different person. He completely lost his confidence in his ability to just play linebacker, which is a position where you have to be fearless.
To be
in the open field and make a tackle. And he second-guessed everything.
Amin's not buying some of this stuff. I do believe, Amin, that you might be underestimating what it's like to go into the cutthroat environment of the NFL as, what do people know about me? I'm an idiot. Everyone in my locker room knows I'm a fool. I'm a source of national scorn. I fell for something on the internet.
Yeah, I'm trying to be empathetic here. So
I think my takeaway, though, because I do think the main takeaway will be like, oh, we owe Manti Te'o an apology, and sure. But I think my main takeaway is like the sports media industrial complex all around, like, we need to do better. Like,
Shitty.
There needs to be some skepticism when you hear an incredible story like, oh my God, this athlete's grandma and his girlfriend died on the same night in the middle of this like historic football season. Like, that, what are the odds of that? Well, let me tell you, probably pretty slim. Maybe we should look into it. And second of all, when the story then comes out and there's a 21-year-old who, by all accounts, has had his entire life shattered by it, like, we need to not treat him like he's the subject of the tabloids. And even like paparazzi are going to Naya Tuiasosopo's house and like stalking them while they're going, just trying to like go home, and they have their hood pulled over their head. And then they go on Dr. Phil, and Dr. Phil's doing this voice analysis. This was the other funny part, by the way.
This was amazing.
Spoiler.
Where's Chris?
This the doctor. Freaking
Dr. Phil. He says he has these CIA and FBI, experts who say that there's a 1 in 10 million chance that this is their voice, and they play the voicemail of them that they left for Manti, and then sure enough it was their voice. It's like, okay, Dr. Phil, so who are these FBI and CIA experts that
so
were
good.
So
the Dr. Phil stuff, like, was so good,
just blatantly, flagrantly wrong about this. Like, it was such a hack interview. Oh my God, he's interviewed in the documentary. Like, it was just, we need to do better.
Do we not have a file somewhere on Truth or Kakua?
Not doing that.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Don Lebatard.
Should Greg Cody of the Miami Herald be allowed to wear a clothespin on his nose?
Hell yeah.
When we smear cat food on his face in a little bit. But you know what he told me, Mike? He told me he suffers from GERD.
Stugatz.
I do suffer from GERD, and I'm got a message to Dr. McGillicuddy. He's trying to fax over an injunction to prevent me from doing it, because I do suffer from GERD, the digestive reflux disease.
Yeah,
GERD, like Gerd Müller, the former soccer player from Germany. And you know, it's a serious thing. You know, whether you're laughing about it or not. Gurdon it.
This is the Dan Lebatar Show with the Stugats.
Cody's got some doubt about, I don't know what the doubt is. He's reflecting doubt on something out of nowhere because I've been wondering what our vetting process was on Bricker as well, because he's not, where did this doubt come from?
Just from how outlandish the conversation was. You know, I mean, all of a sudden, out of the blue, after 30 years, I'm talking to Charles Bricker, and nobody seems to be positive that it was actually him. I don't know.
But what do you mean? What's this? How's this coming to you after 24 hours?
It came to me right away. I said to Christopher yesterday, how do we, meaning me, meaning you, meaning the show, how do we know that was really Charles Bricker?
We got a contact saying it was Charles Bricker. He said he was Charles Bricker. I don't think it was like a Lene Kakua situation.
How do you even fake that?
I don't know.
I mean, he seemed to have some pretty convincing details.
No, he did, but...
Among some trauma.
When it got to God's kingdom, what's it called?
God's breath. But God's wait a minute. Breath. But those are okay.
When it got to him living in that place... I just began to think, wow, is this for real? Is this for real?
I mean, no? I felt that way as it was happening.
Was that before or after the gun in his mouth?
That was after.
I mean...
The gun in his mouth, I mean, he's... I don't know. I've never gone 0-14 with my picks.
That's all.
I think my worst week ever was 2-12.
You're not... Stop piling on.
No, I'm just... I walked away.
Maybe 3-11.
I walked away from that with Craig.
No, he's stuck on the picks. He keeps thinking the picks thing is funny. It's
like he was
still doing this.
Yeah,
he's still doing this thing where, no, but it's not. Like, what are you doing?
Well, he got over it.
I mean, he pulled the trigger on a gun.
No, he barely got over it.
He got over it, and now, you know, time has passed.
I don't understand why the cult is the thing that sets you over the edge, but the gun in the mouth over 0-14 picks, that I didn't suspect anything there.
No, I didn't.
I'm not that familiar with Charles Bricker, but he seemed to know a lot about you.
This is my thing, Greg. Like, I didn't walk away thinking, man, that guy... No, I walked away thinking, is he... okay.
Yes.
That was my prevailing thing throughout the whole thing. Is this person, are we taking advantage of someone
who's
gone senile or dementia or something like that?
Yeah, he's definitely in his mid-70s at least.
Like God's breath is just like something he concocted, but it's still like Charles Bricker, but he's just losing his mind.
I don't know.
I don't know. That's what I walked away.
That's why I was kind as I was to him, is that I felt like I might be talking to a deranged person, to be honest with you.
But the correct deranged person, like
I never walked away feeling like this wasn't Charles Bricker.
I have no frame of reference for Charles Bricker. No. I don't know what it sounds like. Like I said, he seemed to know a lot about you.
But exactly, Mike, like the details, it's not like a listener.
I don't know who the colonel is, but it sounded colonel.
My first question, who the hell is the colonel?
Billy, you were just talking to Greg Cody in the kitchen about this, and are you the one who planted the seed of doubt? Because he is not, in 24 hours, he's not articulated any doubt about whether or not that was Charles Bricker. And we've got a vetting problem around here. We didn't vet that Pepper to earn freedom, and I don't know how well we vetted this Charles Bricker. I don't even know. No one's explained to me the protocol on this. He didn't sound much like Charles Bricker. The Charles Bricker I remember.
Well, what does he sound like?
Not that. When I told Cody that I had spoken to Charles Bricker, I hadn't spoken to him. I'd left messages for him and he left messages back because we missed each other. His voice did not sound the same as it did 25 years ago. And I told Cody that.
It sounded like he was eating the phone too. It was hard for me to tell.
Voices change though over the years.
Have you ever listened to the show?
Yeah.
Oh my God, Dan, you sound like a different person.
I sound thinner, younger.
You got like an energy in there.
Yeah.
And everyone likes to make fun of Stugatz. Like Stugatz's
voice.
Been
killed by the job.
Yeah. Have you ever listened to the first episode?
It's not the job.
Have you ever listened to the first episode? The very first episode.
No, a lot of life. A lot of young 30-year-old life.
Combative. Why is he so combative? We're not going to be like every other radio show. We're going to do it. We're going to have the people.
I think we are going to be like every other radio show. No, we're not. We're disagreeing. We're on the air.
I'm embarrassed by those first 6 months of shows because we hadn't figured out what we were going to be.
Right.
That's what he sounds like.
I think this
high
one
pitched.
Sign.
He was so high pitched.
Yeah. I didn't have my confidence.
I take the
yet.
Other side. I take this one side. Athletes, coaches matter. Athletes, coaches matter.
Jerry Seinfeld all of a sudden.
We milked that for about 7 months.
We had to find our footing.
Roy, in that time, I don't mean to get emotional, but Roy just landed here a bit like a javelin, neck first, 2 hours late, just landed in the middle of the proceedings, doesn't even know what the hell we're talking about.
Sure don't.
Charles Bricker. But you had an emotional like day today. I'm surprised we didn't make an announcement with bugles and everything else. Princess Claire was dropped off at school.
Yeah.
Emotion.
Yeah. Wow. The start of her second year in school.
Oh, that's a big
wow. That's not a big. Why are you even telling us about
that?
It's not a benchmark.
No. It is a benchmark because we got to do this every year. And, like, she's not used to going back to school. Now she's back to school. Oh. And I had to pull in. She didn't want to go in. Things look different. And she pulled away from me. I was like, yunk, come on, let's go. And then she got scared. She does this thing where she puts her hand over her ear when she gets scared.
Adorable.
Yeah, it's adorable until you realize, hey, I got to get to work. So let's go. So walk in.
Hit her with a speed this up.
Yeah, speed this up. Wrap this up. Let's go. So walk in. She sees the teacher she had last year. Got comfortable, got relaxed, and then started getting excited. She went over to some magnetized blocks, started playing with that. And then,
oh, those are cool.
Yeah, those are cool, man. And then went down, hugged her, gave her a little nose rub, gave her a little kiss.
Nose rub.
What's a nose rub?
We can't say the term anymore.
No, just a rub.
An Inuit kiss.
Yeah, like just like two deer.
Can I say Inuit
just,
kiss?
No,
is that
just
good?
Two deer checking up on each other.
Yeah.
You rub noses together.
That's yeah, so rub noses together.
You wow.
Yeah. First Nations people kiss. Oh.
Yes.
Wow. You're really doubling down when we got away from it. You don't have to.
When did you start that?
It's crystal clear what's happening.
Go sit in the penalty box. Just get out of here. You've been trying to help.
You keep wanting to.
Your judgment is bad. It's bad on Cinephobe. It's bad. Your judgment is bad. Get out of here.
Guys,
don't say anything else. Get out of here. It's not because we have a green screen.
It is because we have a green screen.
Because you're incompetent.
It is because we have a green screen.
Because you're the worst.
But also because we just got a green screen.
We got a green screen that anyone can sit in front of. You have to be a special kind of incompetent to get sent out there.
Last year, Billy, by the way, last year, this is when I started.
If we had to play a guessing game of who would do nose rubs in this room, you'd be low on my list.
I'd be dead last. I would pick myself dead last on that one, too.
I'm not sure, though. I think Billy had skepticism. What are we doing? You two are... What happened? You were so close to having... Come on.
Yeah, I faked him out.
No,
yeah.
Wait a minute. Let's not... Let's give each other to each other. Give each other over to the bit. He wanted to rub noses with you. He was welcoming it.
We're wearing caps.
Yeah, we can't force it. The moment's gone.
Regardless, is the second year of school emotional? I feel like we skipped right over that part. Is the second year of school even something that you should be allowed to be 2 hours late to work over?
No.
Not I mean, special. No.
Wait, not, what? Not what grade is it?
They're not there yet.
She's been at summer camp, which was basically like school year two. She's going to be in school next week. Isn't Claire a great deal older than
Roy?
Julia?
Roy announced the Meadowlark policy of when to come to work on a second year of school, dropping a child off for the first day. I didn't know that was our policy until today. I thought first day of school overall, that sounds plausible.
You honestly should have taken the week.
Yeah, I should have taken a week. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. Just go.
What was I thinking? Yeah. All right, I'll see you guys later.
I'll need next week.
Yeah.
Greg, do you remember the first day of school dropping off your children in the 1920s?
Yes, I do. That was a big tradition in my whole family.
How many miles in the snow did you guys have to walk?
About 8. The traditional 8-mile walk.
Uphill.
No, throughout my entire life. Like, my parents were still dropping me off at school when I was in high school.
Back in your day, people didn't go to school until they were about 5. Now you got all these 2-year-olds going to school. What's happening?
I know. That is crazy. That's crazy.
You're welcome for the idea. Plus, it is a Wednesday, of course.
And nowadays you get a diploma for graduating kindergarten. How many kindergarten dropouts are there? Why are we giving people a diploma for kindergarten?
It's a milestone.
You know what I did with my diploma when I was 5 years old? I stuck it in my nose because I was an idiot when I was
exactly,
5.
Exactly.
I didn't know up from down.
Exactly. The dog
literally,
ate my diploma.
Huh?
I wanted to talk, Billy, with you about the incident. I loved it so much. Jeff Passan knows when he's got one of these stories that he's heard about before others that's going to break and be a transcendent baseball story, even though it's not about the things in baseball that people necessarily care about. Pirates infielder Rodolfo Castro. Have you guys heard this story? Because when Passant sent it out, I'm like, oh, that's such a good story. Suspended one game. I had not known that this was a rule, and this is the modern day player and the modern day millennial addicted to devices, suspended for one game for playing in the infield with a cell phone in his uniform, in his pocket. Now, this happened over the weekend with Melvin Gordon. He was doing some practice just running around, and a reporter saw it and said he seems to have some tape or bulky tape around his ankle. And Melvin Gordon was like, no, man, that's just my cell phone. I'm running out there with my cell phone. I did not know. Did you know that Rodolfo Castro and or anyone could miss a game for being out there with a cell phone?
Well, he got caught because he was sliding into third base, and when he went to slide, it fell out of his pocket, and then the umpire just like gave it a weird look and just like pointed at it for him, like, your phone's on the floor. I'm not surprised that he got suspended a game, because they had that whole situation with Apple Watches a long time ago. There was the whole Astros and Red Sox and all that. Yes. I'm like, there's no way they're going to be happy with him having his phone in his back pocket during a game.
I hadn't even considered the cheating aspect of it. I just thought it was an optics thing. Wow, that's a good point. Wow.
Is that not ejectable?
Well, should be.
He didn't get ejected, though,
should
right?
Should be.
No, yep. He just had someone helpfully assist get his phone back.
The only scandal I remember with this, I think it was Pablo Sandoval, who was like liking photos of porn in the bathroom during a game.
And he was hacked.
I remember also that Tim Raines famously would slide head first to protect the vial of cocaine in his back pocket.
Jeez. That's suspendable and ejectable.
That is all I remember about a guy in uniform having something on him that he shouldn't have.
Little pine tar.
How good are you at baseball if you just feel that comfortable running around on a field? I mean, I marveled that Terrell Owens many years ago got into sportsmanship controversies because he was running around on the field with a pen in his sock, running precise routes with a Sharpie in his sock because he wanted to have... How easy is the game for you if you're willing to go through the discomfort of, I need to do this celebration. I'm going to run and do plays with a Sharpie in my sock, and I am going to score touchdowns so I can sign a football by way of celebration after I score a touchdown.
It weights you down. All of that stuff does. This cell phone weighs, I would say, 3-4 ounces. That you're imbalanced. It's in your right pocket. All of a sudden, you're listening to the right. You know, there's competitive reasons why you don't want to do that.
Ounces?
No.
Three or four?
Yeah. Right.
The iPhone 12 weighs about 6 ounces.
Hello. Wow.
He doesn't have an iPhone 12, though.
No.
He has very destroyed...
iPhone 4?
Yeah. Mine still has the button on it. I don't know what number.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Real?
Yeah, yeah. I
miss
button.
That. Yeah.
You're out here pushing buttons.
Yeah.
Like a Neanderthal.
Put it on the poll, Guillermo. Do you miss the button on the iPhone?
Jess, his iPhone has a button.
Damn right it does.
For what?
Jess, do you remember when the iPhone had a button?
For my satisfaction.
Whoa.
How old is that
I have no
cell phone
idea.
That has Charles Bricker's photo of Owen 14 on it?
It's cracked, but who knows how old their cell phone is? You can't look at a phone, and there's no date on it.
No, you can. You just go to, like, the details. It'll tell you what model it is.
Also, his phone has a button.
About this device. Yeah. It's
how do you
settings.
Do that? All right, let's go to settings.
Yeah, so
stay there, Greg.
The last iPhone with the button is the iPhone 8.
Well, that's not an 8. I'm telling you right now, that's not an 8.
It's 2017 was the last iPhone manufactured with a button.
That's about right. I've had this like 5 years.
But Greg, doesn't your phone slow down? Wasn't there actually like a story that they were intentionally slowing down the phone so that you would get new ones?
I would love my phone to be slowed down. The world's too fast. Slow down, phone.
You have an iPhone 6.
He has a 6.
Thank you.
An iPhone 6.
Single digit.
That's a 6?
I don't know. Yeah. Just says it is. Thank you.
It's cute.
Cute.
Maybe it does weigh 3 ounces.
I love a phone.
By the way, this is another source of American myopia. If you go to other countries in the world, they do not update their iPhone every 18 months like
Thank
we do.
You.
It gets like, slowed it is absolutely. I know it gets slowed down, but I guess people just power through it. But you go to, like, I've been to the UK before, and you look around, and most people do not have modern iPhones.
Thanks.
It's such a great business plan that Apple has, having this stuff go obsolete in 5 or 6 years, and you become dependent on them. And next thing you know, you've just got charges all over the place to Apple because you have to keep up so that you
Lemmings.
Can't have the crappy you are in protest. Greg Cody, is not going to be a lemming like the rest of you. He's going to stay behind purposefully with his old cracked phone.
Ain't nothing wrong with this phone. I mean, everything in here I need.
At a certain point, though, like, I'm now, you can't even buy the phone, I don't think, right? Like, you go and, like, you're paying, like, a monthly fee for your phone. Oh, yeah,
because the phones are so ridiculously expensive. Yeah. They're, like, $999 for the basic model.
Yeah, before you just go and you're like, oh, what does Best Buy have on sale? Like, oh, I get this phone for $1? Sure, yeah. I'll get the free phone. Like, that's fine. But, like, this phone that I have now is a newer one, and it was time to renew the plan, and it was cheaper to get a new one than to continue with my two-year-old phone.
Are we still doing the contract wars? Remember, like, there was a period there where it was like, they did that, they gave you the phone for $1, because then you signed, like, a two-year deal with Sprint, and that's it, you're with them now. And then to switch networks, you'd have to get a new phone, because this is a Sprint phone, it won't work on T-Mobile.
That's a great question. I feel like Verizon and AT&T and Sprint used to be all in a battle. They had that one guy who would answer the phone on the commercial and say, can you hear me now?
Good.
Yes.
I haven't thought about my cell phone carrier in like 8 years.
I mean, it used to have the logo on your phone.
Yeah.
Right?
Do you guys remember when there was a promotion? I don't know if every company did it, but certain companies did it. It was just called iPhone Forever. And you pay,
I remember that. It was AT&T that did that.
You pay like a couple bucks a month, and it was like anytime there's a new iPhone, you get it for free. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Dude, do you remember? I'm going to date myself here. Do you guys remember?
Well, we learned you're in your mid-40s today, and you've sounded and acted more like Greg Cody today. You've sounded just like him today. You're deteriorating.
I was going to say, do you remember free PCS to PCS minutes? Jess,
oh, what?
No?
Who needs a new phone?
Oh, my God. What a time. Sprint came out with, first of all, you only had a certain amount of minutes. You had like 500 minutes a month.
Yep.
Until.
And if you were on a family plan, God help you.
To talk. You had 500 minutes for the month, but it was free after like 9 p.m. 9 p.m. to 9 a.m., it was anytime. They called it anytime, so you could talk as long as you wanted.
Oh, yeah, right? Anytime minutes.
So then Sprint was the first one to come out with, hey, you got your 500 minutes a month, and it's anytime after 9 p.m., but guess what? If you're calling someone who also has a Sprint phone,
free.
All of it is free. Yeah. And people lost their mind because it's how can they afford it? How are they not going out of business? All these minutes going out there.
Is that why some people have Sprint?
I no longer have Sprint. I've been migrated Verizon. Over to T-Mobile.
Yeah, Sprint got bought.
Happy T-Mobile Tuesday.
Yeah, I'm on Verizon.
Me too, I'm a Verizon man myself. I used to, I never, you know what? I was Singular. You remember Singular?
Oh, yeah, Singular, yeah.
Oh, I think I had Singular.
I had Singular, and then I can't remember what happened. Oh, they merged, and I was like, no, I'm not doing this.
I was a Magic Jack man. Jacking it.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.